You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's October 2nd, 2025, and welcome to episode 152 of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill video game podcast. I am your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, the latest industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you for tuning into the program today. On this week's episode, I am kicking off 5 weeks of Halloween-themed episodes, starting today with the indie horror title Luto. But we start the day by checking out some of the headlines from this past week, and today's news comes from over at Windows Central. So yesterday, big changes were announced for Xbox Game Pass. First of all, they're doing a little bit of rebranding after their last recent rebranding attempt was, I think, a bit confusing. So first of all, Xbox Game Pass Core is becoming Game Pass Essential. The big change for that tier is that it will now include PC and cloud streaming for the same price of $9.99 per month US. Good deal. More games, same price. Win-win. Game Pass Standard is becoming Game Pass Premium, and it's kind of the same deal as Essential. You now get PC and cloud streaming in addition to over 200 other titles for that same $14.99 US. This all seems super normal and not at all controversial so far. But then we come to Game Pass Ultimate, which is going to be, that's still going to be Game Pass Ultimate. And this one is getting the biggest changes. In addition to the usual, I think they're up to over 400 games now and a bunch of day one releases, you're now going to get over 50 Ubisoft plus classic titles, like a bunch of Assassin's Creed, a bunch of Rainbow Six games, Monopoly, and a subscription to Fortnite's crew subscription service, which will include the Battle Pass and 1,000 V-Bucks every month, which is neat, especially if you are into Fortnite or have a kid that's into Fortnite. They are also committing to at least 75 day one releases per year, which is kind of amazing. That is a lot. It all sounds pretty amazing, except for the price. The price is going up a staggering 50% from $19.99 per month to $29.99 per month. That is no small increase. And the gaming community being what it always is, people absolutely flipped their wigs. Yes, the sky was falling. Xbox was dead. Dogs and cats living together. Here's the thing, though. It's really not worth freaking out over. Is a $10 increase bad? Sure, that sucks. $10 a month, that's not nothing. Nobody wants the things that they enjoy to get more expensive. But Game Pass, it's an optional service, you know? You don't need to use it. If that $10 breaks your gaming budget, you should probably look at alternatives. Simple as that. You know, make smart decisions with your money. I personally don't subscribe to PlayStation Plus or the expansion pass for Nintendo Online because they don't make financial sense to me for the use that I would get out of them. You know, whereas Game Pass, so far in 2025, I've played over $500 worth of day one releases, and I've paid $180. And that's not including any of the older games I've downloaded, or the games that my wife plays or my kids play. So for me, it still makes a ton of sense to subscribe. Even with the increase, I'm still going to be saving money. But if it doesn't for you, then just, you know, go ahead and cancel. It's as simple as that. Price increases suck. They happen all the time. It's always crappy. But let's try for once to not act like it's the apocalypse. All right, for week one of Spooky Game Month, I checked out Luto, a psychological horror game from indie developer Broken Bird Games. They're a small team from the island of Gran Canaria, which I was not familiar with. It's off the coast of Spain. And this is their first ever title. Pardon me. Luto falls into that category of game that I call a PT-like. I think you know what that means. It's a first-person horror title in a very photorealistic world that is light on gameplay but heavy on atmosphere. You know, think Layers of Fear or Visage, and you're on the right track. So you play as a man seemingly trapped in his house. When the game begins, you are standing in the bathroom at the sink, splashing water on your face. Nobody else seems to be there. Nobody's home, and it looks as though the house is being packed up for a move. There's boxes all over. There are also little yellow post-it notes stuck around with messages from somebody. It's quiet and it's creepy. But nothing about it seems too nefarious at first. But when you try to leave through the front door, you find yourself back where you started, standing at the bathroom sink. No matter what you try, you end up back in that bathroom, staring into that mirror. There's a narrator that tells the story as you go along and as you try to get out, repeating lines when things reset, it seems like you're stuck in a time loop of some sort. And each time it happens, things seem to get a little bit more bizarre in the house. You know, you will start to see things move out of the corner of your eye, things changing slightly in the house, hearing unusual sounds, and the narrator starts to go a little bit off script, it seems, you know. And speaking of sound, if you have a good set of headphones, they do make a huge difference in this game. They really play around with the audio, and when you hear footsteps right behind you as you're walking down a dark hallway with nothing but a flashlight, it really gives you the heebie-jeebies. I started playing this game at night when everyone was in bed with all the lights out and my headphones on, but the lamp eventually got switched on. Don't judge me. The further you progress, the more the game starts to take a turn from a more straightforward ghost story to a more kind of unhinged psychological experience. You know, the house changes its layout, and as you turn a corner, nothing's making sense. Doorways lead to wild and unexpected places, and the narrator, who, you know, I admit at first when I started the game, seemed kind of out of place, and just I wasn't a big fan. He starts to take a slightly more sinister tone and actually becomes kind of scary in and of himself. At some point, things get so bizarre that you start to question, you know, reality itself. Is this actually happening? What you're experiencing? The further it went, the more it actually started to remind me of Silent Hill: The Room, which, if you've played that game before, you know that that's a compliment. Very kind of similar vibes to that. Unlike the Silent Hill games, there's no combat in this. Instead, you'll need to use your wits and puzzle-solving skills to progress. There's not a ton of puzzles in the game, you know, but the ones that are there are pretty well done, I think. There's you'll have to, you know, pay really close attention because they aren't always obvious. You know, you sometimes got to really, like, look through your notes and look at clues to kind of figure out what you're going to do. And if you miss a detail, you might end up stumped and not know what you're supposed to do. That happened to me a couple of times. The puzzles are obtuse and bizarre, and that's exactly what, you know, I would want from a game like this. I had a pretty good time. Ludo is a slick, smart horror game with a story that actually goes in some interesting directions that I wasn't really expecting. It ends up being much more of a kind of a personal story that, you know, even pulls a little bit at your heartstrings. It's not just a, you know, haunted house story. It's not the scariest game around. You're not going to be constantly crapping your pants, but it does manage to stay at a near constant state of just unsettling and creepy. And when it does want to scare you, it does that pretty effectively, I thought. If you want something to play at night this October with a good pair of headphones and a blanket to hide under, Ludo is a pretty spooky good bet. So my oldest kid, he's a senior in high school now, and this past weekend I was very busy taking him around to different college events. There was an informational event for one of the schools he's looking at down south, and there was also a national portfolio review with about a dozen different schools from around the country since he's looking at art schools. It was a very interesting weekend for a number of reasons. First, there's the whole, you know, oh my God, I can't believe my child is almost an adult and he'll be leaving the nest soon. I think that's a pretty universal feeling among parents when their kid gets to this age. But there's also a fear aspect to that too, you know. If we're being honest here, the world, I don't know if you've noticed, the world is full of nasty and mean people right now. People who feel more empowered than any other time I can remember to be completely open and aggressive with their hate and their bigotry, and that scares the absolute hell out of me. But there was also something very surreal about watching him go from room to room, showing off his artwork to these different schools. It was like watching an alternate version of my life play out in front of me. I think I've said before, I never went to college. I barely went to high school. I dropped out early and later got my GED. You know, I had, you know, a bit of a challenging, we'll say challenging childhood, and getting that higher education just wasn't in the cards for me. It is what it is. I stopped feeling sorry for myself a really long time ago. And I think I've made a fairly successful life for myself, despite those bumpy early years. Watching him, though, it was like a different path through a choose your own adventure book of my life. My son is a lot like me in many ways. He's shy, quiet. He's very artistic. And we both, you know, have dealt with different childhood struggles. I I think if life would have gone a little bit different for me, and I had some other opportunities, I could totally have seen myself going to one of these art schools. And it made me super proud to see him, you know, overcome what life has thrown at him, COVID and just the world, and chase after his dreams. That was, I don't know, it was really cool to see. And he's an awesome kid. He's going to do great. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife SideQuest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch new episodes of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. So until next time, have a great week and rest in peace, Jane Goodall.